Welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlix.com. PureFlix.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? And welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Pure Flix Podcast. We are diving straight into the week with a really amazing story. This is an interview that we're going to have today with Matthew Barnett. He's the co-founder of the Dream Center. If you are not familiar with the Dream Center, it is a phenomenal nonprofit church out in California. And this is a ministry that is essentially saving lives. You talk about addicts, the homeless, all of the people who are struggling in Los Angeles, whether they're individuals or families, they have a place to go in the Dream Center, and the Dream Center is transforming lives. And so I am honored to have a chance to bring Matthew Barnett on the show right now. So with no further ado, let's welcome Matthew to the Pure Flix Podcast. Hey, how's it going today?
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a while since we have connected, and I love watching from afar what you're doing at the Dream Center. And you guys are just, you're on the front lines. You're doing so much. But one of the things, and we'll get into what you specifically do at the Dream Center. One of the things that I find fascinating is when you look at Jesus's teachings, it's very clear, love God, love others, right? The boiling down of the law into what we're commanded to do. And I think a lot of us, we get the whole love God part really well. I think the love others, that piece of it can get challenging and confusing. We might get lazy on it. But why is that piece of that puzzle so important to you personally?
Because it changes you as a person, as you go out and serve and make a difference and stay intentional every day about, you know, your life and about the way that you give and serve. Everything about culture is to direct us inward. Our social media is saying come inside. Everything is based on, you know, finding yourself, who you are. But there's something about when you just live your life with your head on a swivel, looking for ways to be a blessing, looking for ways to minister in big ways, small ways. And, you know, it's something. My dad always said the greatest way to change yourself is to go out and change other people. And whenever I'm at the worst of myself, it's when everything's revolving around my dream, my timetable. The happiest places of my life is when I'm just instinctively living on the edge and being intentional about just like Jesus. The Bible said he the one sentence autobiography of his life is he went around doing good. And when that becomes the main focal point of my life, everything about my life changes. I become more happy. I wake up better. I don't need as much sleep. It just seems like it's transformational. When you really make a decision to just to not live within that bubble of your own context of me, myself, and I, and that's a great place to live when you're instinctively out of that place.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because it is all about us. Like the culture just pushes that narrative, right? And I feel like it's so easy to fall into it. But yet, to your point, and I love what you've said at the beginning there, it changes us. Like helping others changes us. Loving others transforms us. And yet, we're not really encouraged to do it. But yet, when you do it, it feels so good and it feels so right. And even sacrificing for others, which we're also really called to do. Now, you're doing this actively, and in 1994, the Dream Center came about. What can you tell us? Because you do so much there, but if you were giving sort of that elevator pitch to somebody who doesn't know about the Dream Center, what would you say about the activities, what you guys do on the ground?
Well, you know, it's everything we never thought we would be doing. Compassion can lead you on a really strange road. I came to LA at 20 and, you know, started a little church building for 3 months to help my dad in the interim to find a pastor, and took in a couple of guys in a house across the street from the church and who had a drug problem. And I was a 20-year-old pastor on a 3-month mission to transition to find a real one. And just started meeting that need and helping people and just living with people that had drug addiction. All this crazy stuff started happening and then turned into a great thing in the neighborhood and that local church. And then, of course, eventually we got the Queen of Angels Hospital, which is now a 400,000 square foot monster of a hospital building on the Hollywood freeway that every hour of the day, if you can just imagine, and every single hour somebody's coming into our building who's either homeless, a family who's lost everything, a veteran that's been kicked out of their benefits or whatever. It's happening 24/7. And I never dreamed it would get to this place to where, you know, cops would be bringing people. We had police bring two guys the other day in chains to our building. They didn't want to send them to prison. And so they said, hey, do good in this program for 1 year. We don't want to lock you up. I mean, all these crazy things that are beginning to happen in this big old hospital called the Dream Center that never sleeps is everything I never thought I would be doing. And so it's kind of amazing when you start your first ministry with a little desk on the sidewalk with a phone and three bags of food, and you hand them out to people in the neighborhood, the kind of adventure it can lead you on. And I had a 5-year plan of how it all was going to work out. And I came to LA, you know, and I was going to preach the city into revival. And my dream really got shattered. I had to go to rock bottom and let God recreate me from that little desk on the sidewalk to a servant. And one day I just really spoke to God. I said, God, I don't want to be a great pastor. I just want to be a city janitor. I want to walk through the streets of LA, pick up broken pieces and tell people they can dream again. And I didn't realize that God wanted me to have a hospital eventually. And so, I mean, it's like Grand Central Station every day. 30,000 people a week are being fed. Outreach trucks are going in and out serving. And it took us 25 years to get to this point. So it's not an overnight thing. It takes
sure.
time. But it's been a joy in the process of seeing what God can do when you love hurting people and how he just gets behind that vision and does more than you ever dreamed you could do.
Well, it's incredible to me to just – to hear that, right? I mean, most people, and it's so funny, you went to LA, you think you're going to do one thing, and God does this, right? He's like, okay, I'm sending you here, or you go somewhere, and you could never imagine looking back that you would be where you are now, and yet here you are with this amazing ministry, and what you're describing, police bringing people in, I mean, people coming in willingly, people who are at their lowest point in many ways, trying to find hope and healing. What are some of the benefits to your life? And you talked about earlier, it changes you helping others. How has the Dream Center transformed you?
It's changed a lot of things. It's changed my preconceived ideas about people. I used to think some people are so far gone that they could never change. You know, if you're living in a cardboard box, you're forever defined by those things. I know that sounds terrible, but my perception was
sure.
Some people are just too far gone and they can't make it. The Dream Center has changed that in a dramatic way because I've seen what happens when people give a chance and they're around other people that are winning in their battles and they get swept up in the momentum of possibilities. That's changed me. I think a lot of my my preconceived ideas about people, my understanding of situations. I think the ability to look at every situation and issue on a individual basis and responding to those type of things. I think the scenery of my life has dramatically changed. Scenery changes you and the places where you're at on a daily basis, the encounters that you have with people allow you to truly hold true to the values that you have as a believer, but yet be flexible enough to understand the situation based upon where people are at and how you can respond. And so, it's completely transformed me. But the biggest thing is just people can change. And I've always had a preconceived idea that some things, God could do everything, but maybe not quite some things. I know that sounds terrible saying that, but I had to actually go through that process in my own life.
Yeah, I mean, there's a level, and it's such a hard discussion because people will say, well, and I just had this conversation with somebody this week. Well, some people just don't work hard enough, right? That's the claim that some have, you know, and that's why they end up in the situation they're in. But the reality is that life is way more complicated than that. And then there are elements of needing to, I mean, I would say if somebody shows up at the Dream Center and they walk in, that is an effort that they are making to make a change and do something right. And so I'm bringing a lot of different issues in here, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I think life is really complicated. And it sounds like that's what you're saying. You know, looking at circumstances for what they are and not just fitting them, forcing them into a cookie cutter sort of approach to these things.
Absolutely. You know, everyone's in a different level and some people, maybe they're not willing to work because maybe life got them down. Circumstances. There are situations where people make bad choices. That doesn't mean that we're not there for people who make bad choices. I think that's the beauty of the gospel. We show up and we counteract those bad choices by being the one person that won't give up on them. So assessing how people got to where they are or trying to figure out why they're where they're at and maybe casting judgment is not really our role as a church. Our role is just to to be there for people at every single level. I love this video that I got of this lady that in our church who's singing worship to a lady in a tent. Their little head's poking out of the tent, and she's smiling as the girl's playing the guitar and singing a worship song to her. You know, we don't know why how she got into that tent, but I'm sure glad that somebody is entering into that park and bringing a little worship set into that little that lady's life. And so I used to think that too. I used to kind of judge who is worthy of kind of receiving compassion based upon the choices they make, when I realized, oh my goodness, the more broken they are, the more we ought to run as fast as we possibly can to those that are in need.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And you've got a new book, One Small Step, and I love the subtitle, The Life-Changing Adventure of Following God's Nudges. Why did you write the book?
I just wanted people to understand the power of what happens is when you get out of your own day-to-day routine and you just start saying yes to more things in life. Yes to the unpredictable. Yes to the things in your spirit that God pushes you to do that you try to justify of not being able to do it. The greater the justification of why you shouldn't respond to someone in need or help or make a difference is usually the greatest confirmation of why you should do it. And just breaking that mold and that mindset that says, before I go, I have to have everything figured out. And the Dream Center, of course, is a great picture of that. But also the stories that we tell of just little things that God spoke to me to do in life, in day-to-day life. The things that really changed me. I used to kind of look at the Dream Center as a whole and say, well, we're doing a lot of great things. But in the last 5 years, God really began to minister to me on a personal level, saying, go back to the days of years 0 to 2 in ministry, where you just walk the streets every day as a servant, helping people before you had a staff, before you had all these people doing it. And this book really kind of brought me back to that beautiful stage of just being available and flexible, being generous with my words, being generous with my feelings. If I feel something, rather than holding it in to somebody that I love, say it. Just kind of becoming a personal little Dream Center every day, rather than just the big movement of what's going on.
Well, and I love too the title "One Small Step." That you really do. We do take these small steps, and they lead us collectively. When you get a chance to look back into these amazing journeys, which is what you've had at the Dream Center. Now, you spoke earlier just to kind of backtrack, and I want to talk more about the book. But something that I found kind of interesting is the different kinds of people who come to the Dream Center for help. And you mentioned the year-long program that people can enter into. What are, and I know there's a lot of things, just to go a little more specifically, what can somebody expect if they're going through a program at the Dream Center? What can they expect that to look like?
Well, they can expect to be challenged. That's one thing. We have different, we have a shelter, which basically will take people in that are homeless and just help them, get off the streets and adapt. And but then the real thing that we try to get people is into the one-year program. It's very structured. It's every hour of the day. It's, of course, Sundays they have time of recreation to have fun. But it's we tell them right off the bat, if you give a year of your life, it's going to be the greatest year. We know it's going to work. We know they're going to be changed. And so the program is very detailed. It's morning to night Bible studies, small groups, accountability groups, anger management courses, like everything. Fully comprehensive, all the way to getting your GED program, and then a second-year option for job training where they can actually move to another part of the building and save money and build their future. It's pretty awesome. We have also a year program for homeless families, and we take them in. A little bit different. We have Bible studies and things that we do for the families, but they have to work, get their kids in school, so it's a little bit different type of program for them to get them reestablished and save rent money. To get back in the future, as well as all the spiritual component that we provide with it. But every program is a little bit different, but they're all based upon 1 year. And the reason why we've done that is we realize that 30 days, you really can't get to the layer of somebody's soul in 30 days. And the 1 year with the 2 year option of housing really allows people to take a deep breath, to get out of desperation mode, to get out of that place of survival where they think they have to hustle to make things happen. When people have time and they have the ability to breathe a little bit, then they can start working on things like dreaming for their life again and building a great future. And when Ben Carson was here at the Dream Center a few weeks ago, I told him that every program is 1 to 2 years. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "That's it." He goes, "That's what's needed." He said the brain even takes 1 year sometimes to heal from even the drug addiction. Then he went into this whole medical side of what you know, takes place in the course of a year in someone's brain. I'm like, exactly. That's why we do it that way, you know. Which I was so confused, but it was so awesome what he said. You know, I just rolled with it. But it was awesome. He explained how important it was. It was such a great thing to hear him say. And so that I think that's what you take people out of survival. You take them out of desperation. Then they can really start unpacking their life and building a future.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance last year to sit down with Secretary Carson. I went to HUD and we did an interview there for PureFlix. It was really interesting to hear his story, right? Because his story mirrors probably some of the stories of people who are coming to the Dream Center when he was a kid, and then to see where he is now, but also to just hear the different ways that HUD was trying to attack the issue. And I love that. I love when government officials like Secretary Carson come out to the Dream Center and they see what's going on the ground, right? That an organization or a church is able to do these amazing things. I think it's just so helpful to really guide the efforts they're doing, and they're doing some interesting stuff there as well. Now, one of the things, just to kind of ask you this, and I think it's probably a tough question, but maybe not. You've probably thought a lot about this, I would imagine, over the years. You've been at this for a long time. But one of the things I think when we think about ministry, we think about the successes and what we hope to do. I would imagine you guys are incredibly successful, but that there are still disappointments where people don't make it through or where people leave. If that's the case, which I don't want to speak for you, but how do you process that and deal with it? Because I would imagine that could be tough at moments.
You know, that's a great question. It is tough. You know, several months ago, we had a situation where a young man was going through our program. He was 9 months clean. He was really the model kid in our program, and we love him. And, you know, he had a day pass. He earned his day pass to go out and get a little bit of freedom and went to the streets and end up getting a drug. We believe, actually, that he might have got something stronger than what he actually anticipated he was going to get. And he overdosed and he died. Mm-hmm. And he tried to use at the same level he did before he got 9 months sober. And right before he passed away, he wrote a letter to his parents about how wonderful he's doing and how this has been the greatest 9 months of his life. And his one dream was for his parents to come by and to see how well he was doing. And so his final letter within a day of that was a beautiful letter of how far he'd come. And it just broke us. And the men of the program, I've never seen them rally like they've rallied before. The graduation rates, you know, since that have just gone through the roof. Everyone seems to like saying, look, we're not going to lose another one. And it's been amazing. It's been like a revival that's happened in the rehab program. But those are the tough things. I mean, those are the things in life that they just make you want to go and cry for a week. And sometimes even make you want to give up. But and then you see 2 weeks later, you know, 16 people come across the stage of church and graduate, and it keeps you going. So there's real, you know, pain and struggle when you're dealing with thousands of people a year coming through your program. Some make it, some don't. And the only way to keep going is to focus on the ones that do. But there is a really big wrestling match. That pull is still always going to be very, very strong out there in the world. And, you know, when something like that happens, it really kind of sets you back a little bit, and then it kind of slings you forward. It's a weird process. You draw back and just why even bother, you know, mindset at first. And then the new spirit of the courage of the Lord comes upon you and you're like, okay, I'm ready to fight. And that's usually the process that you go through in that struggle.
I love that. And I think that's encouraging to people who are maybe starting out in ministry and they're starting to see these things happen and they're not sure what to do, right? Like, how do you react to something like what you just described? I mean, it's so disheartening, but it's also amazing to hear this letter that he wrote where he was doing well. I mean, these things are so fragile, right? It's so fragile. One wrong move and, you know, but I think for people who are, again, new to that, or who have, or even maybe people who have been doing it for years and they're still struggling with how you balance those successes and the moments that don't go as well. I think that's incredible. And you've been doing this since 1994, so you've got a long history to look at here.
It's interesting when also parents will thank you, even you know if their kid goes through a struggle. And one mother said, "Thank you for giving my son 9 months of clarity of mind." Mm. We might have lost him, but for 9 months, I finally got my son back. It just shows you the horrible struggle some of these parents go through. It's like that movie Beautiful Boy. You know, when you see the parent and the struggle he went through and raising his son and dealing with his addiction, his victories and his losses. And so, the thankfulness that came from the parents kind of shocked me a little bit, but for 9 months, they actually got a glimpse of what their son, who he was, what he could be. Yeah. It's just incredible. The struggle that's out there right now.
It is. And, you know, it's really a battle. And I love that you guys are on the front lines fighting that and helping people. What has happened of late? Obviously, there have been a lot of headlines about what's going on in California with homelessness and the problems there in Los Angeles. How has that impacted your ministry? How have you guys responded to that?
We have responded in emergency mode. I've never been more proud of our team. I mean, Echo Park has now become an epicenter for the tents. Which is right across the street from our church building. For years, the homeless problem had been moving around and Skid Row's been cleared out and there's been like a gathering point there in our park. So when church is over, I mean, people are storming out of the building and going into the tents, talking to people, serving them. You know, we can't change for people or we can't, you know, make them go into a program. Even though we have all of that, the Dream Center, but we're just going to meet them whatever level. To us, their spiritual condition is needs to be loved, need to be encouraged and loved on. And whether they decide to live in a tent, whether they decide to come to the Dream Center, we're just going to meet them whatever level possible and share the love of Christ with them and worship outside their tent, give them meals and serve them and inspire them to make great decisions for their life. If they don't, we'll still love them no matter what. And just be there for them and then have them. You know, they all come to church on Sunday morning. And out of that relationship, I talk to them. I say, hey, those of you living in tents, we love you. We're going to love you for the rest of your life, whether you never get out of that tent. But we got a place for you. Come on, let's come up to the Dream Center. Let's come up to that little city on the hill and let us help you. And it's just put us, our people, in the major crisis mode. And they're just out there, I mean, like relentless into the streets, trying to find one, trying to find two, trying to find anybody out there that is ready to take the next step forward. And I think missing a lot in this side of, what's the proper way, to help homeless people is relationship. I mean, anything that's relational is the thing that gives people the best chance to change. And so you can create as much policy as you want, but if there's not a person sitting into someone's life and putting themselves in their world, there's a very small chance that someone could ever really turn the corner. And so that's what we're trying to do is just be so relational. And be out there. We have all the options in the world for them, but the most important thing is just to keep showing up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that that's what you guys are doing and that you're responding so, and I knew you would be, to what's going on there. I think, again, the rest of the country gets these little snippets, but you guys are on the front lines, on the ground there. And I think also, one of the things, it's so easy to forget to pray for people, right? To pray for the people who are going through this. You watch the headline, you see what's going on. I would imagine you guys spend an awful lot of time in prayer there at the Dream Center for the individuals and the families who are coming through. If there are people out there listening who want to be involved, whether that's praying for, supporting financially, how can they do that?
Well, if they go to dreamcenter.org, there's many ways you can support. You can obviously support financially, but you can bring youth groups and teams to come and serve and go out in the street with us. You can send a son or daughter that might have an addiction problem. We'll take him in for free for an entire year. You can just come down for a day, a month. All the applications you would need for everything I just talked about are on the site. And so we just encourage you just to take advantage of everyone. Use us. We want to be used. And we want to help your sons and daughters and those affected by whatever issues they're going through. And, of course, there's actually if you're a person in the workplace that wants to, help these works to sustain themselves, you can do that as well. Dreamcenter.org. Everything you need is on that website.
And we're going to be linking out heavily to One Small Step. I think, who better to learn from than somebody like you who's taken these steps and you've ended up with this ministry? What's the big takeaway for the book that you're hoping people have?
The big takeaway is the book is very vulnerable. I start off with the first chapter talking about walking around somebody who is in need and not helping them. I mean, it kind of hurt a little bit. It's a little bit vulnerable. A lot of it's not about like, wow, look at us. We serve. We have a lot of compassion. And I think most of the book is about, dealing with the struggle to be compassionate, the battle that goes on, the inner war that we all face. And really, after 25 years, putting myself a little bit on the line, I joked around one of my posts on Instagram. I said, you might even wonder if I'm even saved after reading chapter one. So, That's kind of the goal, though, is to show people the battle of what it means to be a servant versus self, and to take people through that process a little bit. I think it's going to help a lot of people realize that we don't get it right all the time. We get it wrong many times, but the general affection of our heart is to go out and to help people and to make a difference.
Well, listen, I so appreciate your time. And again, where can people go? Just to make sure we drive it home so they can go right from here to visit the site.
Dreamcenter.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
My joy. What an honor.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And welcome back to the show. That was Matthew Barnett with the Dream Center. And I don't know about you, but I just hear what he's doing there. And it's almost convicting because it's like, man, what else can I be doing? And I think it's so easy to jump in and try to do things, but really just pausing and praying. You know, what ways can God use us that he's not currently using us? How can we allow him to use us more? And, you know, for his purposes. I mean, I look at Matthew's story. I look at what the Dream Center is doing. And you have so many lives being changed, being transformationally impacted. And that is what we need right now. There are so many people in our culture who are struggling, who are in pain, and they're meeting those people's needs at the Dream Center. And so I would love to find in my own life ways that I can be of more use to help others and to live out that mandate to love God and love others. Now, I want to encourage you guys to head over to insider.pureflix.com. There is so much more daily content, Bible verse lists, movie lists, and just inspirational content to keep you going. We have at least one new article every day, so you can check that out over at insider.pureflix.com. And I hope you guys will tune in next week for another episode of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.